You are now tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. Today is December 4th, 2018. I am your host, Uncle Sam, and this is the state of New England hip-hop for 2018. I will be joined shortly by Dart Adams, Bedlam, and Tim LaRue, and we'll be talking about all sorts of things having to do with this year, last year, recapping. This goes back. This is my third time doing this, but it is the fourth State of New England Hip Hop. It started back on the College Blueprint at BU back in the day, and we've kept it going. We check in every year, kind of like a report card. The point is to bring the behind-scenes convos to the forefront, pull back the curtain. You'll also get a little bit of advice as well. Before we get into it, though, the Tony White interview is up now, as is the Women in Hip Hop panel, which was similar to this and very cool. Billy Dean Thomas, Ron Beatty, JanSport J, Suicide Squad, and more. Those are all on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, LFODradio.com. We just got on Spotify and iHeartRadio as well. Just search LFOD Radio on there. Subscribe and you'll get the new episodes right away. They show up sometime in the early hours of Friday morning. So, of Thursday morning, sometime between, 1 and 3 a.m. usually, whenever iTunes scrapes their RSS feeds. But the point is, if you missed last year, it's number episode 96 on there, so you can go back and listen to that. Once again, that's Spotify, LFODradio.com, iTunes, and more. There's lots of gems, including advice from Tim on how to get started as a manager, defining your goals and managing your expectations, a lengthy discussion from Dart and Bedlam about whether you even need a manager, and general advice and perspectives on where we're at and how to move forward. Let us know if you're tuned in. We're at LFOD Radio with an underscore on Twitter, and you can email us at submissions@LFODradio.com if you want to send us some clean records. We'll be back after this with the panel. Once again, I'll be joined by Bedlam, who is a guerrilla marketing zealot working with Show Off, Killer Boombox, and many other artists, labels, and companies. Dart Adams, hip-hop historian, Bostonian, and future statue. And Tim LaRue, management for Cousin Stiz, Michael Christmas, and more. We're going to kick things off with a joint off the new Nightworks compilation. This is Wowflower. It's called Super Calm Snake. Nightworks' two-year anniversary is this Saturday night on Newberry Street. You tune in to Live Free or Die Radio. Thank you.
and we gonna get these.
You know what I'm saying?
Get it like I'm delay. I got some shit that I'm going through. We keep it moving like right away. I'm a young that found a way. She wanna keep me, I'll never stay. I haven't slept in a couple days. Treat it like if I could die today. This ain't the Wilson from yesterday. I seen a lot of shit happen around me. I heard some been yapping about me. Tear this shit up when they started to doubt me. Better be thinking about commas around me. Better be stacking some dollars around me. I don't trust with drama around me. I don't trust with drama around me. I risk it all for the family. I gotta get it, no stopping me. I don't see no one on top of me. Why did your girl keep on calling me? She still ain't over it probably. She wanna f*** with a star boy. She say she study astrology. Boston, they treat me like prodigy. I still got demons to follow me.
I see
me.
My vision in real life. Don't know what it feel like. On the past, wanna f*** now. Nah, I had to know what it feel like. I run it up when I hit the mall. We pushing forwards in real life. I turn my dreams into real life. They wanna know what it feel like.
They wanna know what it feel like. They wanna know what it feel like. Came up from nothing in real life. Came up from nothing in real life. Don't know what it feel like. Don't know what it feel like. I turn my dreams into real life. I turn my dreams into real life. Look how I came out of poverty. Money on go like Monopoly. I turn a squad to a company. Ain't hustling properly. Sliding the Porsche to the mill side. Driving that like a robbery. Do not wanna rival me. Looking like I hit the lottery. I need more blue face, 100 bills. I need a bad. If it's real, I got some shooters that's playing the field. Now I got labels that's offering deals. Racing the clock, I got no time to chill. I think it's funny, they doubted me still. All of my focus on making a meal. All that I talk, I be getting for real. Get it for real. I do it big like I'm ready to die. This for the nights when my mama would cry. I do not fuck with like none of you. All you be doing is telling them lies. I wrote it down and I brought it to life. I see my dream when I open my eyes. God built this shit up from the ground. Just a young that's up on the rise. Real life, so know what it feel like. From the past when I fuck now, I had to know what it feel like. I run it up when I hit the mall. We pushing forwards in real life. I turn my dreams into real life. They wanna know what it feel like. They wanna know what it feel like. They wanna know what it feel like. Came up from nothing in real life. Came up from nothing in real life. Don't know what it feel like. Don't know what it feel like. I turn my dreams into real life. I turn my dreams into real life.
All right, we are back on Live Free or Die Radio. That was the new one from Suriel, Real Life, and we kick things off with Wildflower, Super Calm Snake. Check out that Nightworks compilation when you get a sec. It's two tracks. I think there's a limited edition tape, and yeah, it's big. But we got Dart Adams,
Cheer,
Bedlam,
yo yo,
and we have Tim on the line.
What's up, guys?
What up?
What up, man?
What's happening?
Can you believe it's been a year?
Yeah.
That flew.
Not for Dart, I guess. I really do feel like we just had this conversation, but so we're going to get right into it. First of all, did I miss anything on your guys' bios, or did I get it close enough?
No, I love the Future Statue one because that's been an aspiration of mine forever.
I might outlive you, and if I do, I will make sure to carry
please,
that banner.
Please do, because us black teenagers, we don't know how long we have on here. We just try to do as much as we can with the time we have.
All right, let's get into it. First of all, what are your guys' socials? Because we want people to at you. We want to actually make a conversation out of this year. So, Dart.
At Dart _ Adams Twitter, at Dart _ Adams Instagram, and I'm old, so I don't really use any other social media platforms. If you try to add me on Facebook, I'm never going to add you, so don't even think about it. I'm not on Snapchat either, because why?
Yeah. He will be.
No, I won't. Never.
I'm Bedlam underscore show off. You know, just go on LFOD's, you know, page and you can find all of us. I'm pretty sure it'll make it a little bit easier for you.
Yep. And Tim?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I'm just Tim LaRue. No underscores, no other crazy things. Just first name, last name.
We appreciate that. We have an underscore now, but it had to happen.
I got lucky.
Yeah, you did. So yeah, anybody who's tuned in, first of all, let us know, and you can hashtag state of NEHH. Join the convo, because we only have an hour, but we can keep it going after the fact. So before we get into it, something that's come up when we've been talking, we talk a lot when we discuss and compare artists about these different tiers. I wanted to kind of get some different definitions out of what you guys see these tiers as and how you're defining those. So for the rest of the convo, when we're getting into it, mm-hmm. you know, people say, well, what about this person? What about that person? Because there are different levels to this. Whoever wants to start.
I look at it, like I said before, a sports analogy. I look at it like baseball or basketball. There are tiers. Baseball, you have rookie ball, then you have single A, double A, triple A. After triple A, you go straight to the pros. However, you can jump from double A to the pros. You can go from triple A to the pros. You can be in the pros and you can be demoted to triple or double A. And I feel like that's kind of... That, is kind of the model that we look at. We look at people who first come in, who are just getting their feet wet, need to know where the open mics, who they need to talk to, need to find people to help them develop, or there might already be a team that's young that are developing themselves but need like guidance and what that is. That might be the first rung right there, the first level. Then you have the next one. It's like the people that have been around for a while, they're now finding their voice and figuring it out. You go to a showcase or you go to a show and you see their name on the bill and you're like, oh, I saw them at this show, or I've seen them from this, or somebody told me about them. That would be the double A. Triple A are the cats that have been around, are a proven commodity. You know what you're getting out of them, and they're just waiting for their shot, their big break. They're looking for somebody to, hey, that dude's nice. Those are the triple A cats. Now, sometimes the triple A cats you think are up there because they've been around so long and they're seasoned and they're primed to go. You look at somebody like an Avenue. Avenue is somebody who should be picked up by a major or a label, but due to the fact that they moved the goalpost, they haven't snatched up certain people like a Dutch Rebel yet. All these cats are at that level. They're at the top level. Then there are the people that have gone on, they're toured, they're known, their names, like maybe like a terminology. Like when we have the Boston Music Awards come around, cats don't even think to like nominate him because they think that he's like, they kind of take him for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like he's been around, everybody knows who he is. He's probably one of the best of his era. Well, not probably. He is one of the best of his era. He's probably an all-time great, is what I'm thinking. And so, yeah, we know him. You know what I'm saying? Or acrobatic or somebody
but
like that.
But you're still saying that's AAA, though.
No, I'm saying that they're out there, but they can be grouped in with AAA. But, yeah, it's like the same thing. But, yeah, but they're definitely
like
tours.
They play in the Euro League a lot.
Yeah. So it's like, because they tour.
Right.
And they're known outside all over the world. But problem is that, like, locally, they might not get the same love and appreciation that they get globally.
Right.
So it's like, those are like the tiers.
Okay.
If we want to lay it out.
How do you guys feel about that? Can we work with that?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not too big on the sports analogies. I think for me, it's... I don't know. I put them in two categories. You know, I look at it as the guys who are working and the guys who aren't. You know what I mean? Mm. There's people who are getting up every day and treating this as a business, and there's guys who are getting up every day and part-time in it and, you know, doing it when they feel like it or when they get a chance, and that's what it is. You know what I mean? That's just how I see it. I mean, I do believe in there are certain people who are at different levels and stuff like that, but I believe everything is accomplished by hard work. So if you're not working, then you're not going to get those, you know, those results.
All right. Tim?
Yeah. I think I look at it as a combination of both as well. I mean, that's something I learned just from like my own progression and getting into this shit. I started doing when I was in college and you know, kind of running around with a lot of people like that. And I think a lot of people that I was meeting, whether it was, you know, artists from the city, producers from the city, or kids like me that were just in school in Boston, trying to become the part of the scene, you know, I think in that era, it was a lot of people doing it for fun and as a hobby. And, you know, even for me, like, I was hoping it would develop into something more what I was doing. But really, it was something I did on the side while I did sports reporting, while I was at the class. You know, and then I graduated and it was like, okay, I got to turn up what I'm doing and take this a lot more seriously. And what I saw from kind of peers of mine, as well as artists and producers, is like Bedlam said, like, some people continued or always just treated and continue to treat music like a hobby or like a part-time job. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's like, you gotta, you know, it's gotta fit in your life and everybody's gotta make money. Everybody's gotta pay bills and not everybody has the luxury of being able to make music or be involved with music 100% of the time. But, you know, there's a way to fit it in, and, you know, I think that is a big part of it. I think people are either working and saying, you know, I'm hoping that one day this is going to be something that I do full time, or I'm at least going to put in full time effort and see what comes from it. Or there's people that are going to be like, you know, I'll go to the studio when I have some time, or, you know, I'll put out an album when I get around to it, or, you know, just not constantly strategizing. And something I've learned the last few years is that doing anything related to music business professionally, it's a full-time, you know, 24-hour a day, or at least your waking hours of the day job. And if you're not kind of strategizing every single week on something new, then you're not playing anything. You're not in the league. You're just a talented or whatever. You're someone that has the ability to do something like that, but isn't really going all out. Therefore, you're, to kind of bring it back to the sports analogy, you're kind of sitting on the sideline half the time.
Yeah, or at the park or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, I'm good. I'm glad we did that, because there were some questions on the last one about what about this artist? Why didn't this person? And it was like, well, certain people are moving in different levels, and even though talent wise they may be similar, you know, there are different tiers with that. So I want to review last year. I want to go as quick as possible because we had some goals and stuff.
Yeah,
I want to review those, and I want to get into the new stuff. So we had this ongoing goal involving infrastructure, artists taking more responsibility for their growth, treating it like a business, taking it seriously. I think, you know, the scene is becoming more defined in terms of events and consistency. And Bedlam talked a lot about how there's venues that exist if you're willing to make the effort to reach out to these underdeveloped places. Maggie's was an example, and what LC's done down there with Good Music Showcase. It seems to me like we're on track with this. I see a lot more brands and platforms collabing, and fans are starting to notice. They'll pop up at one event, and then they'll see you rock with these people, and they'll pop up there. And next thing you know, you're starting to see people multiple times a week who you've never seen before. And I think it's very clear on the producer side of things with what's going on. We just had the Shift and the Stew, and now we got Nightworks, and the production scene is crazy right now here. Mm. And they're also investing in the artists. So I think that goal we're good on, right? Have you guys seen anything else?
Yeah, and I think it's also results based because we've seen, being the resident judge at the Stew and being involved in like the beat culture forever, this last 5-year stretch that we've been doing the Stew more and more and more, we've seen an exponential growth, and then it's like a quantum leap, and we start seeing that the guys that first started showing up are different animals year 3, and then we look at cats at year 5, and it's like, they're out of here. They're known globally now.
Mm.
Like, I remember talking about like Grubby Paws or whatever, and then now there are kids over in France like, yo, Grubby Paws is nasty, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, it's gotten to the point now where the producer scene is seeing so many people respond to what they're doing well. They've gotten the confidence, and they've branched out, and they've done things that have brought people from all over here.
Yeah,
and that's always something I've always wanted to see. So yeah, that's I'm good on that.
All right, and Tim, last time you spoke a bit about the national perception of Boston having a scene, kind of like there's always a scene, there'll always be a scene, but it's this national idea of having a certain amount of artists, and then you can, you know, call it a scene there. What's your perspective like from the West Coast, like observations you've made? Because you've been kicking in a lot of new doors as well. So congrats on that first, but second, like, what have you noticed about the perspective out there?
I mean, I think it's pretty much exactly the same as I said last year, where like a lot of the bigger names from Boston have made a little bit of progress, and everyone a little bit lower has made a little bit of progress, but there hasn't been any one or anything like super breakthrough outside of like, you know, Joyner obviously like really popped off this year, and you know, and everyone else is kind of maintained, and there's been some new names popping up. But I think it's the same, like in an optimistic way. There's a lot of still like very good conversation about Boston, a lot of intrigue and a lot of, you know, what's going on. I think a lot more producers are starting to rise and make names for themselves, which is really cool. And that's something I've seen closely out here, is just like a lot of Boston guys just popping up. And even on the business side, like I've met with three kids in the last 2 weeks that are, you know, just out here like interning, hungry, looking to learn from me or anyone out here. And that's really cool, you know, because that's some stuff that isn't talked about, and those aren't names, you know, it's just kids in college hustling. But you know, there's definitely like a splash out here in Boston. I think the more like we kind of rise up collectively, the more, you know, the more attention we're going to get from these, like, you know, older guys that are kind of seated deep in power positions in the industry that, and I know we've all talked about this before, but that we don't even really know are from Boston. You know, I remember the first time I met Shea Pope, who's, you know, he's an icon, and turns out I'd never heard of him before. He's Mo Pope's cousin. He was running good music. He's mm-hmm. a legendary producer. And when he met me, he was thrilled, and we had like a very early meeting with Stiz and Good and him, and he was so excited to be able to add any type of value to someone from Boston. He was like, I was waiting for something like this, and there's a lot of people like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, it hasn't changed too much in the last year, but it's been a really good place.
We actually had a conversation about Che Pope back at the Shift.
Yeah, Dart broke down mm-hmm. the entire history.
All of it.
I'm sure I'm
only
scratching the surface.
Yeah, it was. We don't have time for it tonight, unfortunately.
It would be a 2-hour show.
But so, Bedlam, one of the things you talked about what for a while was representation and how that was a work in progress. What's changed there for you? Is it still a work in progress?
I still think it's a work in progress. I do believe that there are more artists now who are starting to build teams around them that I'm noticing, and they are having people who are stepping in as either, you know, someone handle their booking or a level of marketing, or, you know, just, you know, a day-to-day, you know, either assistant or something like that, that are able to get a lot more done versus trying to do everything from top to bottom. So I definitely have seen, you know, a somewhat of a growth in that, but I still think that there definitely needs to be more, you know, people who are really just there solely, you know, to help other artists, you know what I mean, figure out ways to, you know, create these management companies or agencies that can, you know, back up these artists in ways that they don't really know how. Because, I mean, it's easy for them to go and make a record, make a body of work, this, that, and the third, but just like, well, okay, now what do? How do you get it out? How do you get people paying attention to it? How do you get this artist on stage? Like, how do you, there's so many different elements that come to it. So I think that those things are, that side of it is definitely starting to get a lot stronger. You know what I mean? It just, you know, just like anything else, it just takes time. You know, I think mm-hmm. in comparison to when this conversation first started until now, there's so many levels of growth on all angles. You know what I mean? That, you know, I think that, you know, we all really have to spend more time now. I think the first few years have been, we need this, we need that, we need to stop doing this. I think we've gotten to a point now where it's like, all right, well, let's encourage what people are doing right and help them get to the next step, because they're listening. Clearly, they're doing more work and they're achieving more, you know, more annually. So now it's like, all right, let's not bring so much of the negativity into it. Let's bring, well, what is he doing right? What is this person doing that makes sense that other artists might, you know, need to pay attention to? You know, what are the tactics that work for this one over here, whereas someone else could maybe embody some of those things, you know, like really push it forward instead of just like, well, you need to do more of this and you need to do more of that. It's like, all right, I think we've talked at them enough. Now it's time to talk to them.
Yes.
I like that. I definitely like that. With that being said, we got to do the grades. So each of you gave me a goal last year. Mm-hmm. We'll stick with you, Bedlam. Your goal was to see more networking, talking to each other, looking around, more communication with the DJs, just being knowledgeable about opportunities around you, who's moving, how they're moving, and like just get, you said getting out of their silos. Where are you great in that?
I think it's definitely increased a lot. I would say that if I gave it a C last year, I'd give it a B this year. I think that Boston has seen a major rise in independent shows, people not waiting around for a Crossroads or a Live Nation to book them. Now they're going out and investing in themselves and throwing their own showcases and putting other artists that they feel should be on stages and bringing them along with them. I feel like a lot of that has really gotten good. You know, we're seeing shows and venues we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen shows this year between, you know, Oberon, the Planetarium, you know, I mean, all kind of places that you just wouldn't traditionally see certain artists. And now you're seeing all these shows pop up in all these unique spaces. So I think that the city is definitely getting used to, like, not having to run to our traditional spaces, and it's really exploring, well, what else does the city have to offer? Because, you know, as the city grows, you know, our event spaces are also growing. They may not be as welcoming as they should be, but there are places out there. So,
all right. Now I'm going to flip it on you and have you grade yourself. What's a bridge that you built this year that you're happy about?
I helped incorporate a little bit more hip-hop into an Ivy League institution, and I made it open to the public versus mm-hmm. it being solely for that institution.
Yeah, you know, it's an institution I've been having issues trying to get in myself, and I went there, and they know me.
You know, it's
take a wild guess at which one it is.
I don't know. We may throw somebody under the bus later, but you know, I think that kind of stuff is important to me. You know, I look at a lot of these universities and a lot of these things that are going on, and they're bringing in so many people who have so much knowledge of our industry, but it's not accessible to the people who really, not necessarily that these other people need it more, but it's just that because they don't go to these universities or they don't have those opportunities, it's like, well, where else are they going to get this info? So by being able to merge, you know, certain resources that we have, you know, and then stress certain relationships and those sides, it made it a simple situation where they were, you know, they were a little against it at first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you mm-hmm. know, all these aren't our students. We don't want to be responsible for them, this, that, and the third. But then it also educated them that there are people right in their own backyard that have really great careers in music mm-hmm. that they shouldn't have to spend so much time bringing people from other cities into the city to talk to the students.
Right.
There's people right here doing tremendous work, and you know, you can showcase that right along anywhere else. So,
I mean, if you're going to buy up the damn neighborhood, at least give back to the community.
Yeah. Facts. Well, they just had that study where the city was like, none of them are paying their like requested donations or whatever. The city has like a requested donation amount from all of them because they're all tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, that one actually pays most of their bills, I found out from that. But there's others that don't pay any of it. That's entirely.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you kind of got lucky because yours isn't really gradable. You said you wanted to see more people focusing on.
Well, that's not luck. That's strategy.
Exactly. Another gem. So, you said you want to see people focusing on themselves, not on others and their blueprints. Basically, there's a million different ways to do it. Very hard to grade that, but has anyone popped out to you seeing them move and being like, oh, I like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people. I think someone like Millie's has like doubled down. I think I mentioned him last year, so I'm kind of getting deja vu, but like, you know, I think he's doubled down on his own formula. I think a guy like Cave, who's like different and doing his own thing, has doubled down on his own like real visual approach. I can think of a bunch more examples, but yeah, I think I've seen more of that, and I definitely have seen that for sure.
All right. So the goal for this year is for you to come up with a goal that we can measure.
Mm-hmm.
Dart, you wanted the local media to keep doing things, keep elevating, and keep radiating outward.
Mm-hmm.
That's a paraphrase. Have you found that to be the case?
I feel like...
Or are you great in that?
I feel like local media has found a way to somehow have pride in a lot of the homegrown talent that we have here and realize the uniqueness of what we have in this region and this city or metro area. And I think they're starting to invest in it because, again, a lot of things are results-based. We moaned and complained back in 2014 in March what we didn't have and what we would like to see. 2015, we started seeing things happen, move. 2016 was like, oh, wait, things are happening now. Last year was, oh, that happened. This year, it's more a thing where it's like, okay, let's talk about everything we have going on so we can build on this. So I feel like local media, they've been like WBUR's The Artery, has done a lot of focusing on what's happening locally and talent and people that typically don't get shine or attention. Billy Dean Thomas, Oompa, Red Shades. There's so many talented people who years ago would never have gotten the look, but people are now looking for these people. Like, I had a sit down meeting and they were like, yo, who do we need to do a story on? You know, who do we need to look at? Like, this is, they're being proactive.
That's good.
And I mean, we have things like graduation. We have the museum. We have so many outlets now that we didn't have before, because again, things are results based. You see something happening and you want to move on it, or you want to showcase it. And that was just something that didn't exist before. And when you see, oh, everybody's responding to this, everybody's going over there where there's a fire, you're going to go over there to try to, you know, catch some of that warmth. So yes, I'd say that things have improved in that regard in terms of media.
What's the grade?
I give it a B minus.
B minus.
I give it a B minus.
And yourself as a media personality, I know you launched a podcast this year, so you get some points for that.
Okay, so personally, I'm going to give myself a C plus, because there's so many more things I should and can be doing, but for whatever reason, I'm not doing it yet. Like, I understand people love, they seem to love the podcast. I'm always in my own head, so all I hear is what's wrong with it.
Right.
All I hear is where I'm falling short. After I record an episode, all I think to myself is I didn't even finish the point that I was trying to get across. So, or I haven't done this. I still haven't done the book or the books. I still haven't got the documentary or the documentaries off. And even though I'm doing things now with For Boston and everything else, I still haven't done it. So for now, I'm going to give myself a C+, and hopefully I can move that up to a B minus, B+.
Okay. You've got 1 year.
Yeah.
All right. So we're done with the past.
Good.
We're talking, we might need to do like multiple of these, one just like looking back, but looking forward. So let's talk about the present. What have you felt is the theme of 2018 for this scene?
Everything is, we're on the cusp of. Before it was like, let's get there. Now it's a completely different conversation. When we were at the shift, the conversations we had at the shift this year were completely different than the conversations we had last year, and it was welcome. It was about talk about sync licensing. Let's talk about, because now we had people who were in the room who had done it. They had things licensed. They had things on Netflix. They had things on VH1 or Fox or what have you, or some network, or they had beats like played on shows
ESPN
on Hulu or ESPN, what have you. So and multiple people had that happen.
Right.
So the conversation was completely different. So now the conversation was about, we need to get into this now. Not, we need to get into that. They're there. And it's like when I go to shows, the conversations they have are different. Whereas we need to find somebody to book or do this or somebody to listen. They got the venue open and they found a booker. Now they're just trying to get to the next stage and what they're doing. So that's the beautiful part. So we're on the cusp now. Now the conversation is about, all right, before it was about, yo, we got to get people to understand who this person is, recognize them. And now they're established. When we went to the listening for the Nightfall album, the conversation around the Nightfall album was not the same conversation that we had back when it was Ev's Mass Ave and Linux album listening that we had at the W.
Right.
These are things I want to see. We're on the cusp of something. We're trying to get we're there, but we're not all the way there. As opposed to just trying to get in the door so that we can see.
As opposed to trying to find it on a map.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Tim, what are you thinking the theme is?
I've been thinking about this word that I've used in a conversation a few times recently, and I think it doesn't represent the whole theme, but I think it's going to get there. But I think like infiltrating just different areas and like crossing over into different spaces, and just the word infiltrate I've been using a lot. And I've seen that from kind of full circle, not just artists, but also some of the local brands, you know, getting into some of the stuff you've seen with even the stuff we've done recently, getting kind of crossing over into Celtic stuff and into Patriot stuff, and Pat from Bandulu doing stuff with Converse and looping in different artists and producers, and Alan Duda, who he was the one that kind of put this Celtic commercial play together, looping in a producer from Brockton, I think it was. And we're getting into spaces that, from my perspective, 4 or 5 years ago, it was like laughable to even think that there would be an artist from Boston or producers from the area, or, you know, guys with clothing brands, Sean for Boston. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're really getting into spaces where it's exciting, and it's not just about local music anymore. It's about, we're breaking into areas where the entire world and the country and sports fans and fashion fans and music fans, everybody's kind of looking at these major things, and it's being tied back to people from Boston creating the stuff that is like the soundtrack or the clothing or whatever it is in there. And I mean, it comes back to what I always say, which is like, you know, it's on the individuals and on the individual teams to make these things happen. And there's a reason why a lot of the same faces from all sides pop up in a lot of these different things. And it's because, you know, what we started this conversation with, I think if you're working, you're going to get those opportunities. And when one guy might get the most, just like anything or in any city or whatever, but there's going to be more and more. And it's been cool to see, you know, even the producers that I've been looped in on some of these big projects. Those are guys that were sending me beats 6 years ago that I opened and probably never responded to, or, you know, it just didn't line up or fit anything I was doing. But it's just been really cool to watch, you know, just names I've been familiar with, even if it's not people that I've worked with or that I know very well, you know, then pop up as, oh, well, that, you know, he did the beat for this other commercial that Stiz did voiceover for, and I didn't even know that was the producer. But, oh, yeah, I remember him from my email 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think just persistence and you know, infiltration. I think it's really cool to always remember that there really is no ceiling, and that's something I've always thought myself and preached to the people I've worked with, is there really is no ceiling. You know, I think, you know, you can easily start off thinking, man, it's like really hard to sell out the Middle East upstairs, but it's like, you do the right steps, you're going to do that, and that leads to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. You do, you know, this one tiny listening party for 15 people, and then the next time you got 50 people there, and the next thing you got the next thing, you know, and it's just this, it's a ladder, and there's stepping stones and all that, but, you know, I've seen that happen in a lot of ways, and on higher levels than, you know, what happened last year, the year prior, and the year prior, so... You know, that's just been exciting to me to be a part of it and to witness from other people.
Dope. Bedlam.
I mean, really, they kind of hit it over the head, but it's really just progress. You know, I feel like every area has, you know, has seen some new levels and some new heights. You know, you know, they both kind of hit some really good points. You know, like the scene itself here is changed. Our fashion scene is huge. You know, our music scene is huge. Our art scene is huge. There's so many things, and they all kind of complement each other. You know, I think it's changed the perception of how the music is being treated here. Because and it's funny, I was actually talking to a gentleman who manages a club today, and I was like, you know, I'm really happy that you guys are doing what you're doing in the city, because for years, you know, like, nightlife didn't really support, you know, the music scene here. And now you guys are, you know, now offering your doors and bringing more local artists in to kind of put them in the position of just musicians, not Boston musicians, but just musicians, treating them, you know, like a blanket thing. And they, you know, they were like, you know, we really want to do this and do it right. So it's cool to see that mentality is starting to you know, spread, and people really want to give more opportunity, because there really are some talented artists out here that are, you know, breaking down barriers in a lot of different ways. From, and I can name a bunch of different people. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, subcomponents of the scene that are blowing up too. You know, you got a lot of the spoken word scene that's, you know, gotten really big and has really started to help with, now, you know, letting those venues now become available to, you know, hip hop nights and things of that nature. So it's like everybody, I think, is growing up, and I think the city is starting to finally grow and take notice in the right ways. I mean, obviously we still have, you know, a long way to go, as any other place does, but it does feel good to see that we have so many more options of so many different things here. You know, like, you can be into almost any type of music now, and you can find a night or a venue or something that, you know, you're good. You don't just have to go and listen to Top 40. You don't just have to go and listen to Underground. You don't have to go and listen to one specific thing. Now, you know, we have more options than we've probably had in the last decade.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
I mean, you think about, I was at Fenway Park just this year, you know, of course the Red Sox win the World Series, but I'm chilling around the park, and I hear, and I'm like, no way. And I look up, and I hear Chief Rocka being played by Lords of the Underground at Fenway Park. And then it's followed up by an Onyx song, Slam. And I'm like, this is something that I would always hear at Bill's Bar or some venues if, like, Static or Master Millions or 7L or somebody was spinning on Lansdowne Street. I'm hearing this playing out of Fenway Park. And I was just like, I need to appreciate this moment. And also realize how many new venues are open. Like, you know, you go to the Ghost Who Walks on Stewart Street right now. It's right there. You know? Like, I go hang out at the Four Boston store right there in the North End, where I used to run around with my boys back in the 90s. But it's a completely different, like, everything's changed, a different neighborhood. But it still has that home feel. But people just hang out at the Four Boston store, you know, go to Lace, go to Bodega, which have been there for a while. But, like, there's new spots open.
Yeah.
Like, cats are telling me that they hang out at the 47 store in Newberry. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, for real? It's like, that's your spot? It's like, yeah. I'll just go down the street. I'll run into a Hefe Replay. I'll run it. I'll see, like, Michael Christmas. I'll see these young guys. But then I'll see the older guys chopping it up with them.
That's what's up.
And this is something I always dreamed about happening. Back in the days, Tim could tell you, me and Tim used to have debates all the time about strategy and stuff like that, and me saying that, like, him trying to forego going into the Middle East and everything else because it wouldn't be as receptive to Stiz and Christmas and OG Swagger Dick, that I was like, you have to give it a shot.
I'm still not sure we can say his name on the radio.
I was like, you got to give it a shot. And Tim was like, no, trust me. If we went at it the way, because look at, I know how older guys like you look at what we're doing, and it wouldn't be as receptive. Yeah. And we had this debate for years.
Until
I relented, and I was like, you are absolutely right. But to see that everybody's coming together and having these conversations, like, one of the biggest things that happened was the sit down that me and Noble had. And we just had it on camera, and it was just an old dude and a younger dude just talking about the divides in the city and how we see each other. Yeah. Honestly, like, it was a beautiful thing, man, and it's happening now in the city.
Absolutely. I want to get to a few questions that we have people sort of send in before we go further and talk about next year again. There's not enough time. Yeah. So it's got 213 promo. We've been seeing on Instagram. He popped up, and he asked for your guys' thoughts on local brands such as Us, Killer Boombox, The Museum, etc., and what we may be missing on our end that we can add and correct to improve the scene overall.
I just feel like everybody's moving in the right direction, figuring out. Because the beauty of the real-time social media age, where everything's exponential, is you can see somebody make a mistake or somebody leave a hole open, and you can do something about it now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times we've just been sitting around somewhere and someone's like, yo, they blew that one. That collaboration, they should have done this, 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 and this. Yeah. Next thing you know, somebody's on a laptop putting together something and bam, it's out. Right. You know? Or, yo, this venue should have done this and this and this. They could have picked up that person. Instead of complaining about it, people are putting together the show, making the phone calls, having the meetings, and making it happen wherever it's receptive. We might go to this place that, yo, we didn't even know that this place was through shows. But people are being proactive now.
Yeah.
So as far as brands are doing that. They're not just sitting around and waiting. How come nobody from New York comes down? They're going to get on the boat bus and go meet somebody. They're going to DM somebody. That's beautiful. So I'm glad where everything's headed. The conversations that we've had over the last 4 years or whatever have clearly sparked people and has been impetus. So I'm good.
I mean, I think that of the names mentioned, I feel like everybody's doing their part. Mm-hmm. You know, they're creating platforms to expose the music. You know, they're creating situations for people to, you know, mix and mingle and combine their talents and stuff like that. I think that, you know, the bigger component of that question is, are people taking advantage of those things?
Thank you.
You know, like, there's a lot of networking events. There's a lot of, you know, platforms that are looking for some level of help. There's a lot of support that could be given. But I feel like a lot of artists, in my personal opinion, don't necessarily appreciate, you know, the things that are being done. You know, like, you know, one of the biggest things that I hear out here is, oh, I'm having real trouble getting people to play my music. yet there's all these different things that the DJs are doing frequently, and these artists aren't supporting these DJs. So it's like, you only want the call to action, but you don't want to do anything for them. And it's not like they're expecting you to come and hand them $1 million, but go buy that man a drink, go have a conversation, go start a relationship. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't just sit there and click my link, do this, all this call to action, and then you don't want to reciprocate when it comes to the support. You know, a lot of people will complain, which is how this even, this conversation even started. It was like, all right, this isn't happening, that isn't happening. Well, now a lot of these things are happening. But what I'm seeing is that the artists aren't still taking advantage of being in certain rooms. You know, like, you look in the last 4 or 5 months, I've watched countless music panels between Harvard, BU, all these different things that were open to the public. Don't see any artists. I see DJ panels and stuff like that that are going on. Don't see any artists. It's like, this is your one opportunity to go sit in a room and talk to a bunch of people that you're essentially complaining won't support your music, yet you don't show up in a room. You'd rather go talk to them in a nightclub where they can barely hear you and they're busy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Right.
That goes to paying attention as well. I saw a tweet the other day about how there's no producers in Boston.
Oh, that was
and
hilarious.
And it's like, look, you got to look around a little bit.
I could throw a penny and hit 5 producers.
Yeah. Tim, any comments on that?
Not really. I mean, just to kind of piggyback off what these guys are saying, I mean, I bring it back to, like, you know, my days. It's been a long time since I, like, lived there and did, like, the media thing there, but I did it, and it's what got me started with everything. And I always say that, you know, like, the artists I work most closely with now, you know, like Biz and Christmas and a few others, but those two are really good examples specifically. Those are guys that, you know, I started the 12 for 12 thing in 2012, and I had a bunch of artists that I knew of that I kind of hand selected, and I said, well, let me start this series of events with these guys, but I'm not going to have it be a closed door thing. It's going to be like a word of mouth, and then kind of just, I'm going to put details on my socials and see who shows up. And, you know, Christmas, OG, Stiz, Replay, a bunch more. There were a lot of guys that were not invited that showed up, and they showed up again, and they showed up again, and they showed up again. And then they ended up becoming good friends of mine, and the rest is history. So, you know, I think, I don't even remember what the original question was, but just kind of, you know, like I said, piggybacking off of that and what you guys were saying, you know, like, people got to continue to knock down doors. There's a lot of good stuff happening in Boston, and thanks to you guys and thanks to a lot of other people, there's a lot more things popping up. And it's like, you know, if you're not everywhere you need to be, there's no shame in the hustle, you know. And I think a lot of artists, you know, naturally and understandably, have kind of an ego where it's like, you know, people got to come to me, and you know, unless my name's on the bill, I'm not going. But really, a lot of the untold stories from successful artists and successful people are they were the ones. You know, I think a lot of kids looking up to someone like Stiz probably thought he was always the man. And truth is, he was always kind of just in the right places, you know, and that kind of got his ball rolling. And he would never have met me if he wasn't popping out to these events. So, you know, let that be a lesson, I guess.
Right. Well, I'll serve you a fresh one then. So we got a question from Slim Fool. He said, are blogs dead and playlist placements in?
That's a good question. So blogs aren't dead, but they don't carry nearly the weight, and they don't matter. They're not like a super central piece of like media right now, or of like pushing an artist's music. But I always like to look at everything as like, you know, you need to be able to ride in and out of all of these different trends and all these different, you know, things that are kind of like the central driving force behind getting music to people's ears and getting exposure. You know, it's like there's a lot of artists that kind of lived and died by the blog stuff. And similarly, there's going to be a lot of artists that are living and dying by playlisting, or that are living and dying by acting a fool on Instagram. You know, I think like when people make their strategies based around these vehicles that get music somewhere versus like the actual music and the strategies and the videos and the narrative and those type of things, you're going to come and go. So I think, you know, yeah, you shouldn't be sending out mass emails to blogs and hoping that that's what's going to promote your music. It's 100% not. And there was a chance of that happening 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and there's no chance of that happening now. It's not going to happen. But I'm not like a huge believer in put all your, you know, I'm actually totally against putting all of your energy into trying to get on a playlist, just because I personally think that's a trend that's going to come and go pretty fast. Playlists are always going to be around. They're going to be a thing, but there's going to be a lot of different ways to break music. And I think like you know, people, my philosophy in general, and it's like, you know, kind of simple and naive, but I think the best music and the best videos and the best content gets out there, and it's going to take a lot of time sometimes, and not everyone's going to catch a lucky break, but sometimes you will, and you never know when that's coming. So for anybody, I don't think you should be focusing on blogs or playlists or whatever the next hot thing is. I think you should be focusing on, you know, getting people in your circle and supporters behind you and growing this kind of homegrown organic thing. And then if a blog picks something up, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago, or if a playlist picks something up now, great, you have your thing ready to go, you know. And that's something I guess I can speak on a little bit, just through, you know, like the Michael Christmas experience back then, is like, we had kind of a strategy ready to go, and then he did catch fire on the blogs, but that was way before I even knew any writers, or, you know, that wasn't really part of my strategy. I was like, well, let's make something that would be interesting, or let's make something that is interesting, that's just interesting, good music, and I could see this being picked up by these publications, and then it did, you know. But it's about the music and the content always.
All right.
Yeah.
We only have a few more minutes. I got one more question, Dart. I'm pretty sure you're not going to answer it, but
hilarious,
in case you will. Last year, you said there were three people running the music industry.
Yeah.
Are you going to name names?
Because those three people that were running the music industry in 2017.
You said there were two, and there's one who just got a new job.
Yeah, those two and the one that got the new job, not the same names anymore. And it's funny because the industry changes so much so quickly. We're in an exponential age. Everything turns on its head on a dime. So now it's between six different individuals. Will I name names? No. And why won't I name names? Let's put it this way. Boston is a city where we don't have 6 degrees of separation. We have 1.5. I've been on Earth for 43 years. Math. I've been in the industry and around it since 1982. So I pretty much know and or know someone who knows someone everywhere. And I'm just not at liberty to, like, divulge everything.
Yeah.
But there's a reason I've been around for a long time.
Six is good, man. It's, we got now. More now.
It wasn't two. It ain't two and the extra. It's,
it kinda
six now.
It kind of sucks because you got to know double the amount of people to get on, but you have more ways in.
Yeah, but this is weird because everything, the way everything works is so weird now. And in 2019, it could be a different animal. So
right.
It's what it is.
All right. That was a good answer, though. Before we get out of here.
And true.
So we're only going to go back. I want, if everyone could give a goal for next year, and then we'll do this whole grading thing again at the beginning of the next episode. Cool. But we're going to start looking back less and less and look forward and present more and more. And I like the idea of encouraging and talking with people instead of Adam, because I do agree. Mm-hmm. I think you can go back and listen to the old episodes if you want to hear the old.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a Jay-Z bar. Shout out to Hov, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
49.
Happy birthday.
So.
And salute Master Ace.
Dart, 60 seconds. Yeah, I feel bad for Master Ace. He gets...
Always.
Yeah, well, he's an absolute legend, by the way. We will put that on record. Not that they need our cosign, but Dart, 60 seconds or less. What is your goal for next year?
My goal for next year is to finally do things that I've talked about doing my entire life, but actually executing them, so people stop getting on my back about why haven't I done this yet.
Okay. And your goal for the scene as a whole, like, what would you like to see?
I want to see the breakthrough happen, like the Boston Celtics get to the Eastern Conference Finals, be closer to going to the finals. I want to see us win the chip.
All right, Bedlam.
I think just keep pushing the needle forward, you know, keep creating platforms, keep creating spaces for people to network and, you know, meet people that they didn't know before, and, you know, lend whatever resources that I can to help out the next group of people that need it. That's really my thing. I keep it simple.
All right, Tim, what would you like to see in 2019?
On the scene?
Yeah, something gradable.
Oh, man, I'll make it real quantifiable. I want to see more sold-out shows. I want to see more big moments. I want to see more big records, big songs, big names associated with artists. I think, you know, there's things popping up here and there, and I think the last few years you can point out one or two things. You know, wow, that was a big moment. That was a really big sold-out show. You know, and I think it comes back to what I always say, which is you know, people putting more pressure on themselves, not pressure, just putting more focus on themselves and doing things that quantifiably that everyone can see, okay, this guy did this, because that's how, you know, I've been in that position, and that's how there's real momentum picked up. That's how you get people investing in you. That's how you get record deals, whatever it is actually proving the numbers, you know? So I want to see, I'll say that specifically. I want to see more sold out shows.
All right. I like it. Thank you guys. We really appreciate this. I say we, everyone tuned in, myself, the artists definitely appreciate it. We'll be back with them next week. And it's the same crew from last year, Oompa, Latrell, and M.Dot. So we'll be seeing what they did. Tim, appreciate you calling in. Dart, Bedlam,
well, thank
appreciate
you.
And I look forward. This will be live on iTunes, Spotify, LFODRadio.com, everything else Thursday morning. If you subscribe, you'll get it sooner. At LFODRadio and everything with an underscore on Twitter. Yeah, if you're an artist tuned in, submissions at LFODRadio.com. Send us some clean records.
And stop complaining. Just do it. And send the cleans, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, please. And make clean records, engineers. Make clean records when you're bouncing your artist's song. Like, just bounce a clean. Like, get in that habit. Because there's so much dope music out here that we just don't play because we can't.
And people complain about it. Why don't you play it? Well, there's this thing about radio.
Yeah,
you might have heard it.
we've banged that drum quite a bit, but yeah. So send us some records, and you know, while we're plugging ourselves, if you love social media and you want to be involved with us, hit us up as well. We just need someone to take some nice pictures and video while we're in here. So